This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, welcome, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here with my friend Tom Herman. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Carm. How are you?
I'm great, sir. Tom's on again, his second time. He was with us on episode 916. So if you love what you're hearing from Tom, go back and listen to what we talked about. It's all about safety. Registration is now open for APEX 2024, November 5th through the 7th. You know, APEX will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a 10-bay working environment, from hands-on to the best training. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, APEX is for you. Visit AAPEXshow.com. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com. Also, thanks to AftermarketManagementNetwork.com for information that can help you move your business ahead and for the free and informative LaborRateTracker.com. There was a point in time in my life that, you know, I just, oh my God, OSHA and safety and MSDS sheets and all that stuff. And today, with it almost seems like slip and fall, or a lot of things can happen more than I think ever before. Great company, small business safety and compliance company. And we are members together of the Independent Professional Auto Service Group, an independent group here in Buffalo. And Tom comes to every meeting. In fact, we're having one Thursday morning, 6:15 in the morning. About 20, 25 independents show up there. And you always get a spot on the speaking list. And Tom does like a 10-minute, thank you very much. Let me remind you, here's what I'm seeing. Don't forget about Mother OSHA and all that stuff. You're there to remind us how important safety is. And are we doing enough as business owners to protect, do common sense things? But one of the dying things that I want to ask you to start this episode out, because we're going to talk about basic PPE and a whole bunch of stuff, is does OSHA just show up?
They can, yes. As a matter of fact, they do. A lot of it is employees who feel that they are not being protected, and they will call or email OSHA, and they will send a letter out to the company by email. But if typical example be a compliance officer driving by and seeing a roofing job, and there are roofers on your house or my house or somewhere without fall protection. So the old days we were kids grew up, these guys, you know, would run up the ladder with a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other hand, you know, hammer tied to their belt. They'd roof all day long on top of this roof at whatever pitch it might be with no fall protection on, no harness, no fall. And now that's even in residential, fall protection required, because if you fall off that roof, it's injury or death for sure.
I saw that this past Saturday. Ann and I were out. We were driving by in this neighborhood. We looked, we saw a roof getting done, but nobody was harnessed.
Oh yeah, it's very common. And the guy that did my house, believe it or not, was fined, a local guy, 2-3-4 guy operation, $35,000 for not having fall protection on.
All right, well, that's an example of the driving by repair shop. I mean, repair shops aren't on anyone's radar, are they?
Not especially, because they look at it as high hazard, low hazard, and we're more of a low hazard, if you will. Again, still a hazard, you know, kind of like being a little bit pregnant. You are or you're not. You have a hazard or you don't have a hazard. We have a lower hazard, but you hit the nail on the head earlier, Carm. It's common sense. Most of what we talk about is common sense. And what a lot of people miss out on is a lot of what we talk about in the shop applies to the house.
What I enjoy about listening to Tom every month is when he says things, these commonsensical things that we shouldn't ignore, and that is would be the guards on the grinders, meaning that we've got the refrigerator and the microwave plugged into a power strip. And it's not like that would hurt anybody, but it goes back to common sense. And so Tom, and there's many people like Tom all over the country, find them and just pay them X and say, would you walk through my place? Give me a barometer. Give me a feel for what you see.
You know, it's funny you mentioned it. I got a call from a friend yesterday, a client out in Batavia as a wood shop, but I'm helping him today. Here's an example. OSHA came in. They had the fire extinguishers blocked in the building, right? Take a guess what the fine would for OSHA would be for that issue. How much do you think it cost? $3,000.
Okay.
Because they blocked, you need 36 inches of clear space in front of the extinguishers. I mean, think about this. A fire happens. What do you want to do? You're panicking. You're running to where that extinguisher is. The tech put his coat on top of it. It was raining. He put his coat down. The air hoses rolled up on it. The extension cords rolled on it. You're losing time. You want to go right to the extinguisher, pull it off the wall, pull the pin, and start using it. They had a spray booth. Overspray was built up on the walls. So you think about this, a flammable product on the walls, a fire starts, you're providing more fuel for the fire, $3,000. Now, simple process, wash it down once a week. They make a product called slime, I think is maybe the term of it, but you spray it on the walls of the booth, it's like a soap. Every week you wash it off, and it's soap, and it washes down the excess overspray into the drain, and it's gone. Another one, a cord through a wall. I see this all the time. You need to relocate a piece of equipment, and the extension cord's way over there, and the outlet's over there. You need that piece right where you're working. So instead of rewiring and putting outlet near that device, you go and you say, "Hey, I can take my speed bit on my drill. I'll pull a hole through this wall and I'll run the cord through there." $3,000. So in basically five fines, this gentleman is looking at about a $15,000 fine for five items.
It's commonsensical stuff.
Right. I mean, again, it's not hard. And granted, I'm a safety nerd, no doubt about it, but these things are easy, and it frustrates me because they're not expensive many times. They're not difficult to do. There's plenty of resources available. And to your point, Carm, it's common sense.
Yeah. You know, I want to add one more word to common sense. It's smart. I think it demonstrates to your people, the community, not saying that the community is going to come in and judge you on your safety, but people talk about, I work for a place that really cares about my safety. Well, that gets out. People find out that you know, part of the culture of your company is that we care to make our world safe. You know, the one thing I think so much about, and I heard you saying it the other day about having labels on chemicals, and we buy it in bulk, and we've got to have it in a small container, and it still has to have a label. How many of us really know or think about that?
Not many. It's a shame. It's again, it's such an easy thing to do. We go back to you and I talked earlier before we started, the shortage of technicians. Right. Well, think about this. Many shops we deal with, they're mom and pop shops still. And we don't use that vernacular. I understand that, but they're family groups. Look at Jim and Shelley as an example, right?
By the way, I hate that vernacular.
I know, me too.
I despise the words mom and pop because today, what it costs to get in it, what you have to do to stay in it, means you have to be a very smart entrepreneurial individual. And I think, you know, when I think of mom and pops, I think of the local grocery store in the town that has 500 people. That's a mom and pop. But please don't take your car to a mom and pop.
And we talked earlier, the biggest challenge, one of the biggest we're facing is employees. Where do you find them? How do you train them? How do you keep them? What motivates them? You know, what is this new generation? What are they looking for? It's not the money anymore. It's other things. But in this case, if you could just eye injuries alone, it's just a quick eye injuries, right? According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are nearly 20,000 eye injuries every year. So take that service technician, that service engineer, who now had an eye injury, is out of work for a day, a week, a month. You are putting yourself in a bad place. First thing out, you don't want that person hurt. That's your brother, your cousin, your nephew, your best friend's kid. You know, she's been working for you for 4 months and now she's out for a month. You don't want that in your conscience. Not that I'm portraying that this is all about the money. It's not. It's about providing that safe workplace. And your customers see these things. They see what's going on.
We all prepare for an individual who needs to go on vacation, and we work hard to support the team. But when something unexpected like that happens, and you don't know how long that individual is going to be out, you're reeling, if you will, and trying to figure it out. So you said something so simple. Tom. There's just, you know, goggles and shields, you know, the really cool glasses that people can wear today. Why are we missing the boat there?
I think it's sometimes the people, it's the expense of it. Oh, it's more, you know, I got to pay for more equipment. I got to pay for this and pay for that. Because anytime the safety data sheet requires PPE or personal protective equipment, we're going to call it PPE the rest of the show, it's the employer's job to pay for it. It's not the employee's job. So if you need glasses, if that SDS sheet says, if you're using my product in this way, you need to wear glasses. And not just any glasses. I mean, you and I both wear glasses, but it's not these glasses. It's an ANSI-approved pair of safety glasses. That's, you're looking for Z87 as the standard, or Z87.1 that applies to safety glasses. So it's side shields and impact-resistant lenses and frames, so on and so forth. Those are so readily available. You can buy them at any drugstore pretty much nowadays.
So I'm a shop owner, and I sit down with the catalog and I says, hey, pick out two pair make them look nice, whatever you want. They may have to fit over the current glasses you have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Get them. Set the policy in the company. And then on the culture wall or on the values wall, that is we want to work in a safe and healthy environment. And let that be a value set in the company, not only for us, but for our clients. Okay, now you've got that set. Anytime someone isn't wearing the PPE that you have purchased, that you have readily available, that it's in their toolbox, it's hanging on their lift, you can go and discipline against and says, hey, look, for your own safety, number one, for the safety of all the people around you, get them glasses on. How hard is that?
And it's even easier because when you look at the standard for PPE, the very first thing you want to do is have a hazard assessment. I built these. In fact, if you put my email on at the end of your podcast, I'll send anybody who wants us a copy of it for free. It's very simple. You have a task column, hazard column, and a required PPE column. Something so simple. Most of our places change batteries. Well, what's the risk with batteries? Acid. You drop it, you crack it, something falls on it. If you're working over that battery and that battery explodes and that acid comes into your face, obviously it burns and loss of vision. But it says right on here, if you're doing a battery charger, the hazard is the acid splash. What's required? Safety glasses with side shields. The employee signs off on this. It's a 3 or 4 part process, but basically it says, here's the assessment. Any of these tasks that you do, here's the required PPE. The next page says, I've read the evaluation for my workplace. So you look at the checklist and there's one, we have one for service. I've got detail, parts, sales, office, body shop, and bedliner installing. The second part says, the equipment has been provided to me by my employer. Real simple. So your Carm Carpiato is signing a document that says, I read that if I'm changing a battery, I need to wear glasses. I'm signing Carm Carpiato's name. You've said, I'm going to take care of this.
It sounds no different than if I have a uniform policy. However it works internally, if you've got the Cintas that comes in and or you give them the shirts, they take them home and launder them. Whatever, we require you to wear this pant, this shirt. We require you to the PPE for these in particular jobs. So I don't want to belabor this and drain this really bad, but our whole purpose of doing this podcast episode is to just tell the technicians and tell the service advisors that are out there, please, if you're going to go into the shop and there's this battery charger, throw the glasses on, get them on. Don't enter the shop without a pair of safety glasses.
Yep. And it's simple. And again, you look at the 20,000 people a year, that's a lot of folks. And they look at this and they believe that 90% of these eye injuries could be prevented by simply putting the glasses on.
You know, you come to our meetings with these New York State posters. You know, you've compiled all the different particular laws of New York State. You help make this big, beautiful poster. Does every state around the country have posters to hang?
I believe they do. Yeah, most of the states have. There's both a state requirement and a federal requirement. And I believe most of the states have their set of what's required for that state. Now, of course, New York is probably one of the bigger ones. There's a lot of posters, signage required, everything from election voting to Pay Thin the Leave Act stuff. But that's got to be in the back room somewhere for all the employees to be aware of what rights they have.
When you're out doing a review of a shop, do you look for those?
Absolutely. Yep, I have a checklist.
Especially for New York State. You say you went down to a friend of yours in Pennsylvania. Would you look for that Pennsylvania stuff?
I would first do the research with the state agencies to find out what's required. New York's great, and I'm sure others are the same way. You can walk through a checklist on the website. What is your business? What do you do? How many people do you have? And it actually will build you a list of what's required and then send you to those list of those posters. You can actually go right down the list and print them all out. But when I think it's easier just to have it all in one place and just be done with it. And the idea is when the compliance person comes in, they see that giant poster, they check the box, it's okay. And that goal is to get that person in the building and then the compliance person out of the building because you're in compliance.
Registration for Apex 2024 is now open at aapexshow.com. Now, if you earn your living in the professional service segment of the auto aftermarket, you will not want to miss Apex this year, which will be held November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Some of the best classes you'll find anywhere is going to be at Joe's Garage, from business and service advisor management training to live training inside of Joe's Garage. Classes will cover EV training, ADAS, ultrasonic diagnostics, network system diagnostics, and advanced application of electrical theory. Those are just a few of the courses offered. Sign up now to see the entire offering for Joe's Garage Technician Training. Besides some of the best classes and trainers, you'll also find every top industry company ready to talk with you about your business needs and career. So if you earn your living in the automotive aftermarket, plan to be at Apex 2024 and plan your 3 days around Joe's Garage and see tools and equipment in action. Register now. Here's the website, aapexshow.com. I'll see you in Las Vegas, November 5th through the 7th, Apex. Now, more than ever. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, did you know at automotivemanagementnetwork.com you can find an SOP, a checklist, forms, along with policies and procedures that can help you move your business ahead? Well, sometimes you just need a little motivation to write a policy if only you had something to review and then make your own. You can save so much valuable time when you can grab a document from our library, make a few adjustments for your shop, and move to your next task. There are more than 350 searchable documents, with new documents arriving soon at automotivemanagementnetwork.com. Protection. Let's talk about that for a quick minute. Let me just run down some things. Pick something that you think is important. Head, foot and leg. We talked about eye already. Hearing, hand, bodily injury, when to wear respiratory protection. When you're out there, are you observing what's going on? And then are you looking at an individual saying, why aren't you wearing? Why aren't you doing? Or do you summarize it and sit down with the owner and says, look, I don't care if OSHA does or doesn't come. I care about you, your people. Is that the angle?
Yes, you're 100% correct. When I walk into my inspections, I talk to the employees. They're the greatest source of information. I watch them and I try to create an instant friendship. Your boss hired me to make sure you have a safe place to work. I want to ask questions. I see you're about to take off this ball joint with an air hammer. No hearing protection. Do you have some? Oh, yeah, it's over on my box. Well, they would, you know, you and the two guys next to you, the one lady across the hall, might want to have that on and let them know you're going to do that job. And then we talk about how to put the ear protection in properly. A lot of people just want to stick it in their ear, and that's not how it works. You're basically supposed to grab your ear with your opposite hand, pull your ear away, and put the protection in if you use the in-ear pieces so that when the ear goes back inside, it kind of pulls that protection in a little bit. But hearing, I mean, this is a big concern of mine. If you think about all the kids nowadays with the, you know, the hearing, the cell phones and the earbuds and the iPods and all those things, way too loud. Having an issue with that. And look at the technician, not the technician anymore. What's a new word we like to call our technicians?
Oh, mechanical and technology specialists. Yes.
Yes. If you look at that specialist, many of these guys have radios going all day long. I've seen many now that have TVs in their toolboxes, believe it or not. They're watching TV. But I get this question a lot. Can I allow my technicians to wear earbuds? Well, think about this. The noise level, the decibel level in that, there's a standard for that from OSHA and NIOSH. You want to have that standard low enough that's not going to cause damage to your hearing. If you have that in all day long and it's too loud, you're going to damage your hearing first off. And this is a cumulative type injury. It's like a back injury. You can have a loud noise that impacts your hearing immediately, but you can also have a cumulative over the course of time getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The point is, if you're in a shop and there's a dangerous situation and I have my earbuds in, will I hear that call for help or that rescue or whatever is that noise is going on there? So I tell all of my folks that I work with, we have a hard time finding these people. Let's make a compromise. How about if we put one earbud in or one piece of hearing for the music or whatever they want, podcast they want to listen to, hopefully yours, leave the other ear open. So if a car's flung off a lift, and I pray it never happens, but if it does, hey, car, watch out. You will be able to hear that clearly because you've got the one ear open for those noises in the shop versus the one ear you're listening to the time on the podcast.
Right. I get it. And I can't even imagine that someone can do, no disrespect on my show and the value that I think it brings the industry, but to be able to maybe somebody's watching a YouTube video on something for that particular car repair or watching one of their guru network friends on their YouTube channel. I get that. That's one thing. But to not have clear here, how about that for a word? Clear here?
Absolutely. I like it.
You like that? Clear. You need clear here.
The big three for me, you hit them all. Eye protection is easy because it's very inexpensive. It's not hard. The only issue it comes up occasionally is on a warm day, the glasses tend to steam or fog up. But they make a number of products you can apply to the lenses to avoid that or to minimize that, if you will. Hearing protection, you go all over the place. Tons and tons of hearing protection in shops. They have the big barrels, like what you can pull them off the bottom. You can get a little plastic bag with the stuff in them. A lot of guys will put them in the parts counter. Walk up the parts counter, ask for a pair. And they're not once and done. You can put them back in the bag. You can fold them back up. I always recommend it a lot, the kind of with the string on them. So they're right there. You don't have to go back to the box.
Well, if you go to races, you got a pair or three or 10.
But let's flip that around a second. Now think about the guy who's mowing his lawn. The guy that has a couple acres with a zero turn. How about hearing protection for that gentleman or that what, that lady? Think about the noise. You don't think about that.
The guys that do this professionally that are on that zero turn all day, they're wearing ear, you know, maybe they're Bose silence. But and again, they could be listening to tunes, but if it's not hopefully too loud and they're enjoying their day, but at least it's...
Hope it's a podcast.
Yeah. It's protection against that constant hum that's coming from the, or versus the constant hum of the music they're listening to or whatever. But to your point, I love that. I mean, just to have a set of, you know, over the ear just to put on while you're going to do some really heavy grinding or hammering, to your point. Yeah.
And we talked earlier about the guy. If you're doing that in your bay, how about the bays that are around you? Give a quick heads up. I'm going to be doing this for a few minutes because they're not going to expect it. It's going to startle them maybe at the least. At the most, they're going to, the noise is not helpful. And again, you've got to be mindful of the folks around you.
Look, Tom Herman, he's here, small business safety and compliance company here in Buffalo area. And he's here just to do this, to throw some commonsensical stuff at you, some smart stuff, clear here. You know, keep your eyes, you know, write that down so that you don't lose that. Clear here. Yes.
Clear, thank you.
I don't know if that makes any sense to me or not, but
I'm going
to
give you the credit card. No worries, that's a good one.
But Tom is here just because we love to bring this kind of information that gives people a kick in the butt. Can I say a kick in the ass?
Yeah.
To remind everyone who's responsible for their people, for their business, for their safety. I mean, I'd hate to have a multi-million dollar business with a huge investment, great people, good market reputation, have something bad happen because we misstepped and we didn't protect and take care. So, all right, let me ask you about EVs and all that stuff. I mean, Tracy and I were in Canton, Ohio last week, and we were at the brand new Napa EV Ready Training Center. And Bill Weaver put Tracy through this really interesting thing about PPE. And she had the three sets of gloves on. She had the cloth, she had the leather, and then she had the rubber. And Bill showed her how to test the rubber.
Oh, the...
Yeah. He had two different machines. He had like a cuff where you would, like a blood pressure cuff. And then he had the real machine that blows it up, and then you'd watch the gauge and see.
That's an expensive machine.
And the little tricks that you have to worry about, because sometimes when the glove is compressed, if there was a little tear in it, it would self-seal itself. If it was just in a flaccid position, and until you blew it up to the right pressure level for the air to escape, because it is kind of the soft rubber. So I found that so interesting. You know, they had the hook there and all that stuff, because you cannot be a trainer and teach EV without going through probably the first couple of hours of why PPE is critically important. So have you added that to a review when you go into a shop and ask them, are you repairing EVs? What are you doing for protection?
In my prior career, I did, but in the new career, I generally work with a smaller independent repair shop, and they're not there yet. We do talk about it. I mean, linesman's glove is where it comes from, and the linesman's gloves need to be tested every 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months, exactly.
In Buffalo, there's two places that do it. It's like $20, $25, not a lot. But before every use, you're supposed to do the old blow-up test. When you're a kid, remember the kid, the latex gloves, your kid make the rooster and all that? You blow them up. And what you're looking for is a hole at the end, a pinhole at the end, that could, electricity could come in, like as you mentioned with Tracy. And then in a dry, warm place, dark kind of place, you don't want out in the sunlight anywhere. The rubber, again, is a problem. A lot of guys put them in their toolbox. They come in usually a Ziploc, a bag of some kind. And again, a lot of the manufacturers in the old days would send them, the Ford was a classic for this, would send a new pair every 6 months to the dealership.
Well, you may be surprised, Tom, when you start going into shops to ask them, say, hey, working on EVs, have you done the training and gone through it? And obviously, if they have, then they're committed to it and they've sent a technology specialist, even their EV specialist out, then it's by rights that you should just say to them, listen, let me see your PPE stuff. Let me see your testers. And did you know that every 6 months, we found that out every 6 months, no different than the lineman's gloves. The PPE for EV is no different and it has to go out.
Actually, we did add that to our hazard evaluation.
Very good. You're going out into independents, as you said, some smaller shops and, you know, not the big mega dealerships. What are you seeing? I mean, you know, OSHA's always got a top list. What's your top list of things that we could be working on?
Monthly inspection, number one thing. No, not many people will take the time to do a monthly inspection of the building. So we're looking at the exit lights. Are they lit up? When you test them, you know, again, a power failure happens. You want to make sure that exit lights are lit up to guide your way out of the building. Especially in here in Buffalo in January, it's pretty dark in the evenings. Making sure that you have someone dedicated every 30 days to walk around that whole building. You know, it's 30 minutes, and generally our guys are that size-wise, you could 30, 45 minutes tops probably. Exit lights. Do you have the electrical box? Is there 36 inches of clear space of electrical box? Now, you're talking about your EVs, right? Power. Can I go to that box, open the door, and shut the power off immediately if there's a problem at one of my lifts? Do you have a parts washer? Is it solvent-based? Is there a little lead button on that parts washer if it catches fire that the cover will come down and hopefully put the fire out? Extension cords. See us all the time, every day. I wish it was I could pay commission. I'd be retired by now. Missing ground. So you have a tool that needs to be grounded. You have a cord with no ground on it. You're plugging it in. And then I always question, why didn't the tech ask for a new cord? It's not like the boss will say, no. I'm sorry, car, no cord for you today. You had one last month. You give the cord back and a new cord. Eyewash. A lot of places don't have eyewashes. Again, the battery acid issue. Any chemical detailers. Chemicals. You spraying stuff in the clean the car off, tire lube, all these things. You want to have an eye wash within 50 feet or 10 seconds travel time, wherever that it might be. If it's a big box, is it full of water and preservative? Is it that's a monthly check. If it's the plumbing unit, are you pushing the lever once a month, week to make sure that it's working properly, get the sediment out of those lines? So taking the time to walk through that building, again, we're back to common sense. Do things look right? If they don't look right, say something to the boss. Document that. And I have a checklist for that as well. Go back and talk to the boss. Extinguishers, okay. Are they clear? There's a checklist for that. Is there a sign above the extinguisher? Is the extinguisher fully charged? You look at that little needle. Is it in the right area? Undercharged, over, are both bad? Is it in good shape? Is it rusty? Is it dented? Is it need of inspection? Is it hung up properly? Is the pin lock in place so that if you pick it up, you're not going to discharge it immediately. You're going to have that pin in holding in place until you get to the area where the fire is. When you pull the pin and actually start squeezing the handle and spraying out the product, if it's an ABC dry chemical. Lastly, is the hose in good shape? Has it become dry rotted or cracked or broken? Those kind of things. And if it is, then if you look at that card, you flip the card over, there'll be 12 little blocks on the back that say date and buy. So today's date and my initials TGH, I'm saying that this extinguisher has been inspected. It's in good shape and it's able to be used. 30 days later, come back to the exact same thing. So I tell people all the time, if you've got extinguishers, put a red spot on the wall up high so I can look in the shop and look around above the cars and see where all the extinguishers are. And train your folks. I think we talked about this at one of our meetings. Invite the fire department in. Why would you not do that? Let those volunteers, those neighbors, friends, relatives, whatever, come into your shop. Where do you keep the gas? Where's the oxygen acetylene tanks? Where is this parts washer? You know, here's the layout of the building. When they come, they can be safe too. Those kind of things are important.
I always appreciate your inspiration. I really do. And there's no doubt this is a brilliant episode to push us, remind us, to drive us that we need to do a safety review every month. I don't know about you, but 30 days, blink your eyes, it's gone. It's behind us. And blink your eyes and 6 months is behind us. I don't know where all the years went, but they went.
I look at our gray hair. I know that. I know they're gone, but...
I know. You and I, where did those years go? So to Tom's point when he says you need to look at this monthly, But stuff happens. We don't even know what happens. To your point about dry rotting and the charging of the chargers and maybe build up on the eyewash. So here's the point. As an owner, commit yourself to do that. Manage by walking around safety, your safety walk once a month. And if you own multiple stores, which so many who listen to this podcast do, your manager at every one of your stores needs to do this. It needs to be in your online reporting, and they need to check the box that they did manage by walking around -S for safety. And they've accomplished that.
Absolutely. Not hard, and not time-consuming, not expensive.
Any other final words? Because I just want to make this thing short, impactful, that we can tell our listener.
Just a quick, you mentioned earlier power strips, electrical. Real quick reminder, things that do not belong in a power strip, refrigerators. We all have micro refrigerators now at our places to keep our water and iced tea cold. Microwave ovens. I see this all the time. I go into the shop in the back room for the employees, and there's the microwave, the coffee maker, the toaster oven, all plugged into power strip under the wall. They're all running the same thing at lunchtime. Don't do that.
Listen, they all work, but what you're really telling me is you're really putting too much amperage through that unit?
Yes. Yeah. The strips are designed for what we're doing right now. I have my desk lamp on. I've got my laptop on. I've got my speaker on, my modem, my router all plugged in it. Nothing more than 15 amps. If any one of those should go, it'll be caught by that power strip, circuit breaker, or the fuse in the power strip. Think about the opposite. If a spike comes into the house, it'll catch it as well. I'm not going to lose that expensive 34-inch monitor I'm watching you on right now, or that $1,000 laptop I'm looking at. So a power strip's a great thing, but it's only designed for the small things. Pencil sharpener, computer monitor, computer, laptop, those type of things. And I see it all the time, especially like in the old days of dealerships, sales departments, under the desk, salesperson would have their refrigerator and their trill plugged into it and all these other things. No, do not use a power strip for anything that's heavy duty with a heavy draw. Heaters. Remember the portable heaters, little cube heaters?
Absolutely.
All the time, not in a power strip.
Sump pumps. I mean, if you wash your own clothes, you know, and a lot of guys do their own uniforms. They've got a washer and a dryer in the back room. Make sure it's plugged into a wall in a direct line to the box. I mean, that's
absolutely a simple thing.
Again, that goes back to simple, commonsensical stuff. It's just smart.
And we're back to the home and the shop again. Even though it's at the shop, it applies to the house.
You're 100% right. Please take this back, walk around the house, and be sure that the air conditioner, the hair blower, the portable heater, the blender to make your morning little drink are not all plugged in.
Yeah, the coffee, the Keurig.
Oh, that's really funny. I bet you it's going on.
Oh, it is. But Carmen, before I go to, I want to thank you. You know, for a safety nerd like me, having this ability, this opportunity to share this and almost act as an arm of a non-enforcement arm of OSHA to help out. The thing we always talk about in our world is we don't know how many people didn't get hurt because of what we did or said. Or trained on. Kind of, it's sad you don't know that there's not that, but it's nice to know that you have embraced safety and are taking the time and making the time to get this message out. Much appreciated. It's a pleasure being with you.
Great to have you as a friend. Tom Herman, safety nerd. Wow, that's what I'm going to introduce you in the future, safety nerd. Small business safety and compliance company here in Hamburg, New York. Thank you so much for revitalizing our commitment to safety. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.